I'd like to invite you to turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And we will begin reading at verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching. And the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. May lead us as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we cannot help but imagine ourselves part of a crowd that stood at the foot of the cross. We cannot help ourselves. We want to go back in time, if not just for a few moments, to hear, to see, to watch, to listen to all that happened on that Friday. And so, Father, we come to you and we ask that your Spirit would give us a few moments as a family to walk this path, to stand at that place, to look at him, to look at us, and to let those moments change our lives. For this is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. There certainly has been, over time, a lot of blame laid as to who may have crucified Jesus. Who bears responsibility? Who's culpable? Who are the ones that, if it were possible to just drag them out of history, we would take them and stand them and say, "So you're the ones. You're the people. Or you're the guy. Or this was your decision, and look what you have done." It is certainly tempting for any of us because of the sheer amount of time and space that has unfolded from that Friday until this very Sunday to think to ourselves, but that wasn't my doing, that was their doing. That wasn't anything I said. There wasn't anything that I have done. It wasn't any way that I contributed to what happened on that dark Friday. I wasn't standing in the crowd. I did not say, crucify him, crucify him. I did not say, let's just start a lie about him and see if we can get it through the Roman government and let them handle it. I did not make up things about him. I did not say that he would be a new Caesar. And it would be easy for us to just put distance between us and that day, with the realization that although in just a handful of days, we will come to a time in which we will recognize what happened and the gravity and the significance of the one called Jesus who is nailed to a cross, who is hung up between heaven and earth. Although we will recognize the significance of that day and in part the meaning of his death, if you are like I tend to be, I stand myself apart and I hear others say, crucify him, but I never hear my voice say that. I watch others watch him, but I never watch him myself. I look at others who stand before him, but I don't see myself standing before him. And if I'm asked to lay blame as to who could be responsible, I probably would jot out a list of folk I think that got themselves together and made this whole thing happen, and strangely enough, my name would be missing from the list. So I'm going to invite you to do something with me today that I rarely do, and that is to preach confessionally. And I'll only talk in terms of myself, and I just invite you at whatever place in your own life that you feel like you can participate or your heart or your soul may be there to do so. Just stand alongside. For the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, it was the entire lot of us who bear responsibility for the death of Jesus Christ. My hands are not clean. I'm part of this. I'm in it. I cannot strike my name off a list. I cannot hit delete. I cannot live through this week as if I had nothing to do with it at all. For the truth of the matter is that among all the people that I suppose who contributed to what happened and how it unfolded on that day, that when you get down to W's, that the name Brian Williams appears as big and as large as the name of anybody else who stood there, who spat at him, who mocked him, who took a hammer and nailed his hands and his feet, who smashed a crown on his head, who thrust a spear into his side, that my name appears with every other name that had something to do with that day. So, as I prepare myself to go through this week, I would love, and oftentimes I have found that I do, I would love to be able to go right from here to resurrection morning. I would love to go without stopping at Friday. I would love for Friday just to be a day that I prepare our home to receive guests on Sunday, for our family to come together. I would love Friday to be a day that I can just say the weather is good and I'm going to do some yard work and I'm looking forward to the events of Saturday. I'm looking forward to the events of Sunday. And Friday is just a bridge day to get from there, from here to there. But I can't do that. I can't do that this week. And so I'm going to invite you to come to Friday. And we're not going to spell out the gory details of the crucifixion. We read them, you have mental images of them. You see that? I'm going to invite us to do something that could be even more challenging than that. And that is, at least for me, to see what the death of Jesus exposed about me. What is it about me that the death of Jesus put on public display that I would wish you would never see? That I would wish you would not know about? What is it about me as a part of humanity and as a part of a people who contributed and who is part of what happened on that Friday? What is it about me that I do not want you to know? And I will share them. The humility of Jesus at the cross exposes my ego. I look at the one who did not grasp anything from heaven to bring down with him, and who listened to the insults of those who spoke against him, who listened as he was placed on trial, and who at times just decided, I won't even respond to that. Who, as he was hanging between heaven and earth, looked down at people, some of whom could not wait for the moment that he would take his last breath, and yet he acted in all times, in all moments, with every single person. It didn't make any difference whether their hearts were breaking because he was dying or whether they were celebrating because he was almost dead. His humility exposes my ego. It exposes that stuff within me that I know it gets in the way, that I know it gets larger than life. I know that it is the problem. And when I come to Friday, and when I prepare to go through the rest of the week, I invite you into a journey of humanity, of recognizing and confessing that the humility of Jesus Christ on that day and every day, the sheer humbleness with which he went to the cross, with which he died on the cross, exposes my ego. His love for the world exposes my love for myself. His love for the world exposes my love for myself. Jesus goes to a cross because God so loved the world. Jesus can look into the eyes of every person along the route, standing at the cross, every person that crosses his mind, everybody he's ever thought about, and everybody who will ever come. Jesus can think about every single person and think about them in the context of this incredible, overwhelming love for the world and everybody in it. And as he is crucified before the eyes of the world, the sheer depth of his love in that moment exposes my love for myself, my love to take care of myself, my love to make sure my needs are met, my love to make sure that my reputation is not tarnished, my love for myself to make you think I'm more than what I am. His righteousness exposes my sin. When I stand in the crowd and confess, he's done nothing to deserve this, and I go back in my mind all of the Jesus stories that I can recall, and I see nothing but righteousness and holiness and goodness, when I stand there, that sheer magnitude of righteousness exposes my sin. It brings it to sheer light. There's nowhere for me to go. I'm looking into the eyes of the one who is dying for me. And it is not because he had sinned that he's there. It is because I have sinned that he is there. And if people like me had not sinned, he would not have had to go there. And the very fact that he is being crucified, the very fact that we will wake up and it will be Friday, will be a reminder to me that his righteousness is exposing my sin. As I make my way to Friday, I will not be able to get away from the reality that his generosity exposes my greed. His generosity exposes my greed. He holds on to nothing. I hold on to as much as I can. He is so generous that he does not call in a rescue attempt. He does not call angels from heaven. He does not flee from the scene. His sheer generosity in giving fully and totally of himself exposes in me the greed that I struggle to give myself. In all truth, I don't want to be crucified. I don't want to do what he has done. I had rather save myself. And if someone saw me in the situation that Jesus found himself and said, well, you can save everybody else, why don't you save yourself? I would think to myself, well, that's a pretty good idea. You know, you have a point. I think I will. And make an attempt to save myself. And Jesus makes no attempt whatsoever. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't blink. He's not there to save himself. He's there to save me. And his very act of generosity exposes my greed. His light, the light of his goodness, the light of his love, the light of his mercy exposes my darkness. As I stand before him, and as I prepare in the days ahead to make my way to Friday, I already know this is true and will happen again, that when I stand in the presence of the marvelous light of what he is about to do, although even all of creation goes dark as if it goes into some kind of creation mourning, some kind of grief itself, recognizing this is our Creator whose life is at stake. This is our Creator who will take his last breath. This is the one who made the oceans and the seas and the rivers and the valleys and the mountains and the animals and all of life that is in it. This is the one that will take his last breath. His light exposes that I haven't done any of those things, exposes my darkness, the darkness that sometimes happens in my own mind, the darkness that sometimes happens in my own heart, the darkness that sometimes surround my own soul. And standing in the light of the crucifixion, standing in the light of that kind of sacrifice, standing in the light of that kind of love is a revelation of how dark my life is without him. His sacrifice exposes my self-preservation. His sacrifice exposes my self-preservation and everything I seek to do, every attempt I make. And yet he makes no attempt to save himself. His giving up everything that is his exposes how tightly I'm holding on to that which is not mine. His giving up everything exposes back to me how tightly I'm holding on to stuff that's not mine. And I stand just looking at Jesus, thinking, how could you give up everything? How could somebody like you Just give up everything for somebody like me. How did it happen? How did the story get so turned? How did it get so messed up? How did it just get so overwhelmed? How is it that I stand here and you are there? And so as Friday comes, I am reminded already that his giving up everything that was rightfully his exposes that I'm holding on too tightly to that which was never mine to hold on to. His authenticity exposes my religious veneer. His authenticity through and through. Every bit of him, truly Son of God, totally authentic, never having to cover up a lie, never having to deceive. His sheer authenticity exposes my religious veneer that I only aspire to have his authenticity. Oh, I wish I could be as authentic as Jesus is. Oh, I wish that everything within me, every thought that crossed my mind, every decision I made, every word I spoke, every encounter I had, every moment I was awake, every deed I have done, all that I am and all that I do, oh, how I wish it were as authentic as Jesus. But his authenticity exposes in me that I have at best a religious veneer. And I need something much greater, much deeper than religion to save me. His grace exposes my contempt. His grace exposes my contempt. That rather than lashing out at those who are about to finish him off, and at those who on that particular day, rather than lashing out and saying, oh, I've got something I need to tell you, or you wait for this, or bringing condemnation to even a Roman soldier who stood there to make the final piercing. Could you imagine Jesus looking down at him and catching his glance? And after it is said and done, the Roman soldier looking at the tip of his spear and looking up at the Christ that he has just participated in putting to death, and then making the confession with all of heaven breaking in on him, truly this is the Son of God. Truly that was a righteous man. That's his blood on my spear. Well, that is also his blood on my spear. It is my spear that has punched and punctured. It is my spear of sin that has found its way right into the side of the Savior. It is the spear that I hold in my hand. And his grace, even in that, exposes my contempt. I invite you to walk to Friday, to let the preparation begin today. Sunday will be so much sweeter, so much better, so much more meaningful. If we don't try to rush from here to there and think Friday is just another day that I need to get everything ready for what I plan to do on Sunday. that the next 4 days be days in which, if you can, if you are called to or compelled to, that you share with me as the ones who are not just bystanders, who are not just innocently there. We are the ones who need His blood. We are the ones who need redemption. We are the ones that He has on His mind. That just blows me away. We are the ones for whom He died. And while I'm trying to save myself, He's saving me. While I'm trying to preserve myself, He's giving it all up. While I am worried about what people think about me, He thinks nothing of Himself and thinks only of me. While I am thinking, well, what about poor Brian? He is thinking, what about the sin of the world? While I am thinking, I don't want to die, He is thinking, give me the tomb. I know a father who can do something about that. While I am thinking, what is going to happen with me and who's going to provide for me and my family, He is thinking, I will provide for you in such a way that the weight of the world and the guilt of all the sin of the world will be lifted off your shoulders forever and ever. Amen. So go there. Be there. We are there. And before we announce too quickly, it's Good Friday. Perhaps we need to confess that getting there is bad Friday. It exposes way too much about who I am. It reveals way too much about what I want you to know. But it is the truth. And I am glad that as I make that journey for myself, that I will not journey to a hill outside of Jerusalem by myself, because I know we share a common story. We are all very human. We all sin. We all need a Savior. And for each and every one of us, on the third day, He was risen from the dead. Let's go to Friday, shall we? Be exposed. Be revealed. And in that moment, let the healing begin. Let the grace overwhelm. Let the love surround you. And may you and I and all those who confess the name that Jesus is Lord find our way to Friday and stand there just a bit and see what He has done for us. Let me invite you to stand, if you would, please. Our Heavenly Father, this is a week that brings a lot of energy to it, a lot of activity, a lot of things to do and get done. Let us not neglect that Friday is coming. Let us not neglect that it was on that day that You offered Your Son. Let us take the steps that we need to, beginning right here, beginning this day, beginning right now, that poise us and prepare us to stand in the presence of One who is totally love, who is full of grace, whose mercy covers us, the One who looks at us not with disdain and contempt, the One who receives and embraces us even with His last breath, the One who says to You, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, Father, let us make our way to Friday. And as we go that way, let us feel the depth of our own frailty, of our own humanity, of our sinfulness, of our lack of righteousness, of our self-preservation, all that we do that is ultimately about us. And when we get to Friday, may our hearts and souls be exposed so that your grace can rush in as it always does, and your love make out of us what we could never be on our own. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. We're going to sing. If you're